Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven, get a drink. Fill us, Father. Fill us. Fill us. Yes. Yes. Ah. Establish, perfect, and settle the mind of Christ in us, that we will see, perceive, receive according to your will and your way, that we may be about your business in truth and spirit and power, and prepare for every good thing. In Jesus' name. You know, we've been talking about living beyond the temporary, and living beyond the temporary is associated with kingdom business. And in kingdom business, there is the threefold kingdom of God, but that's not really what I want to get at tonight. But I want to share with you, first of all, there's the kingdom of God that's within you, the kingdom of God that comes to the earth, and there's the eternal kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is manifested by the Holy Spirit. This requires an individual to live out of their spirit. I said this requires an individual to live out of their spirit, not of their soul, which is being led by the Spirit, where you're no longer leaning on your own understanding. Is everybody with me? This is God's purpose for me and you. That's His purpose for us in that area, to truly live out of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit in everything we do. So that we're not living out of our soul, or what we call out of the flesh. You know, so many times we call the flesh carnal, but in true reality, the soul is carnal. Because the soul has a desire to live according to the ways of the world. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of God comes in, the seed of God comes into your spirit. And that's why many people say, well, I've just sensed this in my spirit. Well, you sense this in your spirit because there was a witness in your spirit. And it's important that we stay filled with the Spirit of God and stay filled with the Word of God, so that we can be about the Father's business. And being about the Father's business is associated with kingdom business. And kingdom business, we know that is in power. Power over temptation. Power over self. Power over the soulish arena. Power over the lusts of the world. Power. If that's not being expressed in your life, then you are not in the Spirit. Are you listening? Well, I have the Spirit. Yeah, well, being in the Spirit means you're obeying the Spirit. You can get baptized 20 years ago. You can get healed. All things can happen to you. You can have revelations and all kinds of stuff. But only being led by the Spirit of God is what keeps us truly free. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So you can have all kinds of knowledges and revelation and whatever, and think that you can just go along and do whatever you want to do, and that don't work. That means you're not walking in the power of Christ. Does everybody get this? And one of the things is that we are in such a urgency of time right now, and God is moving so quickly and preparing so quickly that there are things that are happening in our lives that are advancing us so quickly. And you must be careful of pride. Pride. Pride protects self. Nobody's here has made it, including me. There's only one day we're going to make it, and that's when we hear him say, enter in my good and faithful servant. Other than that, nobody's made it yet. So there's a fight, isn't there? This isn't about religion. This is about kingdom business. And there's got to be a point when you finally come to a place where you say, I'm sold out. You're either sold out, and I love that word, sold out, S-O-U-L.
E-D.
O-U-T. Sold out. This is where you are sold out. You're no longer living in the soul. You're living in the spirit. You're no longer living by what you think, by what you feel, by what you assume, and by what you desire. Those are now behind you on the cross. You are now living because you live because He lives. And you are now living the life of Christ, not the living the life that you want. Remember, you cannot bring God into your life. He brings you into His. When you start bringing God into your life, that is pride and arrogance, rebellion and haughtiness. And you can expect a fall. And that doesn't always mean you're going to go out and do something real stupid. It means you've fallen away. You know, it means you begin to compromise, become complacent. You're no longer consistent. You're no longer disciplined. Is everybody with me? These are areas that we must always examine ourselves. And we can make every excuse that we want. Well, what things that we do? Well, this, well, that, and whatever. But even the Word says we are not excusable for those things. We are to be fighters. Listen, if you saw somebody drowning in the water and you know how to swim and they didn't, wouldn't you go in to rescue them? Or would you think about, oh my gosh, my clothes are going to get wet. What about my hair? Far be it that my ponytail might get wet. You know, so many people make change, places of change, because of their job, not because of God. I get calls from people, hey, what's the employment over there? Why, what are you thinking about doing? Well, I'm thinking about moving. Well, what church you belong to? Well, then you need to find a place of fellowship. That's where you move to. You don't move because your job dictates it. You move because God dictates it. So are you understanding? In this, there is an urgency right now, and it's called, and it's a gathering urgency. And I'd like you to go to Romans 8, please, in verse 27. Romans 8, verse 27. Let's read this together. Now he who searches the hearts, who's searching the hearts? The Lord. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He searches the heart to see if it is lining up with the spirit or the soul. Are you listening? He is searching the heart to see if it's lining up correctly. And then he makes intercession to get the heart lined up. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who what? Love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, to those who love God, that is a choice. The Lord says, if you love me, you'll what? Obey me. So love is not just the area of, I love you. You respond to the love of God by showing him, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And because I love you, I'm going to obey you. And because I love you, I'm going to deny myself. And because I love you, I'm willing to die for you. See, so many people look at love as just saying, oh, I love you. See, love is a choice. And that choice is to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. That's love. In verse 29, would you read it with me? For whom he foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So you've been predestined to be conformed into his image, likeness, and character. You have been predestined. In other words, God predestined you before he even created creation. In other words, you were already in his heart. You were already in his idea. You are already there. You are already in his thought. In fact, the reason why he created the universe was for me and you. But our peanut brain has a hard time getting that. So we are already predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also what? Called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Glorified. So we see that the Spirit searches the heart to see if he's in line or not. With the understanding that we've been predestined to be conformed in his image, likeness, and character. And in this, he's putting us into a place to fulfill his destiny for us. His destiny. Predestined. In fact, that word in that predestined is a word destiny, isn't it? Now, we know that there is, for me and you, we are called in our calling, right? Anybody remember what you're called for? The battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom, and your destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents God has given you. That's individual. There is a threefold destiny of God, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The threefold destiny of God. And the first part of the threefold destiny of God is individual, me and you. And to fulfill that destiny, there's, of course, cooperation with God, but our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents and abilities that God has given us. In Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, is everybody there? In verse 3, would you read it with me, please? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing, in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him. Just as he chose us in him, because we live and have our being in him. You are in God right now. You may not understand that, but the whole universe is in him. Nothing can be created out of him. Everything is created in him. He's a pretty big guy, ain't he? Just as he chose us in him, before the what? Foundation of the world. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him. Where? In love. In love. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons or daughters by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace in which he made us accepted in the what? In the beloved. He made us accepted. In other words, in him, we've been in him before creation. Everything that is created is in him right now. He thought about me and you before he even created us. All creation is created in God. Anything, nothing can be created out of God. Everything is created in him. So he had considered us, we have been predestined to be created, to be holy without blame in love as children of the Most High God. He desired us before all creation. Has everybody got it? He desired us. Go to chapter 3. In verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation, everyone say revelation, he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by who? The Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. That the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me by the effective working of his power. Now this is powerful. The revelation by his Spirit, it says, was given to the apostles, and that word apostle is associated with sent ones. Sent ones. There's an apostolic anointing here, which means sent ones, which are ones that are sent, and prophets. Prophets are called seers. Prophets are what? Seers. Okay. In this, we've got to understand that in the threefold destiny of God, there is the destiny for me and you. And our destiny is to what? Infiltrate, isn't it? That's our destiny. There's the destiny of individual. There's the destiny of fellowship. The destiny of fellowship is to be trained up. Is to be what? Trained up. So for me and you individually then, because we're to infiltrate, that means to be sent. So individually, we're to be sent, aren't we? And corporately, in fellowship, we are to be trained up. And globally, as a body of Christ, it is to gather. To gather. Everyone say to gather. So the final destiny of everything is to what? Gather. So your individual destiny is to infiltrate, to be sent. In the corporate destiny, it is to train up. And in the global aspect of the body of Christ, it is to gather. So our final destiny is to gather. Is everybody with me? It is to gather. It is to gather souls so we can get the heck out of here. Hallelujah. So he said, by revelation of the Spirit, the apostles, all right, known as being sent, it means they had to hear. They had to what? Hear. So it's important that we're able to hear and to see. Everyone say hear and see. So if the purpose is to gather, that's the final destiny of everything, is to gather, because we've already been predestined to be sent in his image, likeness, and character. Now there's that process of training, isn't it, which is the corporate destiny. And the global destiny as the body of Christ is to gather. And in this gathering, God has multiple ways of gathering. Everyone say multiple. Glory. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4 and 16. In this gathering, God begins to utilize the gifts of the Spirit. In the utilization of the gifts of the Spirit. So there's something that has to happen. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Spirit. You must be filled with the Word. And your heart must line up. Or you'll begin to hear every other voice out there. And the one thing that we want to be able to do is hear and see. Hear and see. Hear and see. That's why people become anxious, because they're really not hearing or seeing. They're moving out of their soul. In Romans 4 and verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and what? Calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who on the contrary to hope and hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. In this, it's going to take faith. Everyone say faith. Now, faith denies self. If you can't, in other words, without denial of self, you can't walk in faith. You walk in assumption. You're always walking in a false hope. False hope is called assumption. Oh, glory. Come on, grab this. False hope is called what? Assumption. Well, I assume this. You had false hope. That's not correct. Because if you truly heard, faith comes by what? It doesn't come by assuming, does it? It comes by hearing. And hearing the voice of God. Hearing the word of God. And in this, there's that area, even in the gifts of the Spirit, when God sends us out to infiltrate, because the final destiny is to gather. Well, you know what? People want to see God, hear God. And some of them don't even know it. People are looking for the power of God in all kinds of places, but I'm telling you, when you're out in places and God gives you a word for someone or a revelation or something to that degree and exposes that person's heart, that person knows. He's no longer looking at you. He's looking around for God. Where is he? Is somebody recording my heart in my room at my house? How do you know those things? Because they don't know God, but God knows them. And he's trying to bring them. Now, I'm talking about people that are lost and people that God is trying to gather in. It's too bad that we spend more time trying to gather in the ones that are believers. Hello. Because of the stinky pride that a believer gets involved in and begins to chase spouses, money, and everything else instead of waiting on God. Too many people leave their position and their calling for the world. It's a terrible thing to stand before God and to know that we've left our calling. I know many people that will never fulfill what God had planned for them. Because they left their call. In fact, some of them never even knew their call. They just played hallelujah and did whatever. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Calling those things that are not as though they are, able to hear and see. Able to what? Hear and see. This is how gathering is done. And there's something that you need to understand, because unless you're a worshiper, how can you be filled? You got to worship God. Or you'll constantly be an assumption, which is false hope. Well, God told me this. I think. God told me. You know how many times people say God told them, when the majority of it, God didn't tell them? But they've got to convince themselves that God told them. So they try to go out and prove it. Let me tell you, if God truly told you something, you don't have to do anything. There's always a peace and joy. A peace, joy, righteousness. In Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, the threefold destiny of God. The final destiny is to what? Gather. Gather. You think God wants to use you to gather? Amen. The Bible says be ready in season and out, not how you feel. See, the whole thing is everybody goes to that place where they're looking at their abilities and talents. I'll never forget when this woman came up to me and a cane, crippled. And we just got done worshiping, and I opened my eyes, and she was standing right before me. I was like, whoa. And she said, pray for me. And I'm like, and I heard the Lord say, don't worry, guy, it's not you. I said, okay. So I cast a serpent out of her leg, and she was paralyzed, and God healed her. Ran around the church and threw her cane. Hey, I was flipped just as much as she was. Yeah, man, I started chasing her. Glory! I've seen many, many things happen. You know, but we're so accustomed to think that it can only happen in the church. In fact, we get so accustomed that it stops happening in the church. See, sent ones means get out there. Listen, somebody goes on the ground in front of you, don't dial 911. Dial 1-800-GOD first. Send somebody else to dial 911. You lay hands and cast a demon out or whatever it is. You speak forth the word. You know, many people run. Guys came home from work, and they were at somewhere from the labor pool. And they said, yeah, man, this dude went in convulsions. I said, what did you do? Well, we called 911. I said, well, what did you learn? See, because they weren't walking in perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. They weren't thinking kingdom-wise. They were thinking business-wise. It wasn't about the kingdom business. It was about carnal business. See, their minds were still set on the things in the natural, not in the things of the spirit. So your response, you're going to either respond according to the things of God or react according to the things of the world. So you're going to know where you're at when something happens. Whoa! What am I going to do? Oh. You know, one day I was driving and I saw this guy. He had one of those big water orange things that people drink out of in construction. And I was driving, and next thing I saw him, and he takes this whole thing, he takes the top off and throws it on his car, the water. I'm thinking, I better pull over. And the Lord says, his car's on fire. I said, his car's on fire. So I pulled in front of him and pulled up far enough, and the guy looks at me like, help me. And I'm like, my first thought was, okay, he just threw water on it. If it's electrical, this whole thing is going to start really going quick. If it's gasoline, it's going to really start spreading more, because water is not going to put out electrical gasoline. So I thought, okay, I stopped and I commanded in the name of Jesus Christ that fire stop in Jesus' name. And I ran to my car and got some jugs. And I went across the street to 7-Eleven. And I'm still speaking, Lord, put out that fire in the name of Jesus. And I got back and a dude said, man, the fire just went out. I said, praise God, I got two jugs full of water I can use for later. But he looked at me like, well, because he heard me saying, in the name of Jesus. Because my back doors were locked. I couldn't get in and get the water. So I started, in the name of Jesus, I command that fire to stop in Jesus' name. I didn't go check and see. I went and got some more, went and got water. And then when I came back, he said, man, the fire went out. I said, that's the Lord Jesus. He said that I began to share with him that I have dominion and power and authority granted, predestined for me. That's my purpose. I've been predestined to have, that's my inheritance, excuse me. My inheritance, everyone say my inheritance is power, dominion, and authority. That's my inheritance.
Yeah.
So I was using my inheritance. See, the world's inheritance is cash. It's got no power. In fact, it promotes slavery. But the power that comes from above promotes freedom. Worldly power is only produced by money. But godly power produces freedom. Worldly power produces slavery. Ezekiel 37. Is anybody there yet? In verse 1. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy. What did he say? Prophesy, in other words, speak forth. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones. What's the first thing he said? Hear. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. This is kind of strange. O dry bones, hear. Hear. He told them to hear. Hear what the word of the Lord says. It didn't matter whether it was material, person, animal, whatever. He commanded whatever it was he was speaking to hear. Hear the word of the Lord. It didn't matter if it was a light bulb that blew out. Hear the word of the Lord and turn on in Jesus' name. He did what he commanded, didn't he? He said to these dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, did he do this out of his own soul or out of the Spirit? Why? Who told him? God. So he heard and he spoke. He did what? He heard and he spoke. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall what? Live. So the first thing he says is what? Hear, underline the word hear, then underline the word live. Hear, and what's the other one? Live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh to you. So he says, I'm going to bring cartilage and all the other stuff. What is it? Cartilage and tendons. And then I will put flesh on you. Okay? And cover you with skin. And put what? Breath in you. And you shall what? Live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So, look at. There are six things that he just said here. He said, hear, live, sinews, flesh, skin, and breath. Those are six things that he just spoke to these bones. He was dressed in these bones, wasn't he? So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was what? Commanded. And as I prophesied, there was noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no what? Breath in them yet. Right? So he said to me, prophesy to the what? Breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord. Now he began to speak to the breath. And he said, thus says the Lord. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may what? Live. Do you see how specific he was when he spoke? So I prophesied as he what? Commanded me. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly what? Great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. How many of y'all have been in a grave? Amen. Now verse 14. And I will what? Put my spirit in you. Underline that. That's the seventh. My spirit in you. And you shall what? Live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Has everybody got it? But who spoke it? Ezekiel, didn't he? But wasn't it the Lord that spoke through Ezekiel? Do you understand this? But it was seven things that he specifically spoke to bring life into this army. Seven things that he specifically spoke. He prophesied, speaking according to the word. He spoke as God spoke. Amen? So that's going to take two things again. To what? Hear and to see. There's a place where we begin to posture ourselves to hear. You know, we talk about positioning. Now, you may be in a place of positioning physically, but you may not be postured to hear or see. There's a way that a person can sit to listen and hear. And there's a person that can slouch and just be in a place but never receive. Are you listening? So there's a place of posture. It's called posturing. In other words, you posture yourself. In other words, you can be positioned, but are you postured? And by posturing yourself, that is the ability to hear and to see. Praise God. So why? Because in this, we must be able to hear and see so that we become not only speakers of the light, but creative words. Speakers of the light in what? Creative words. These words swallow up evil so that light can create. The Bible says that you and I are new what? Creation. All things have passed away and all things have become what? New. That did not start until you prophesied. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So you spoke your own creation in. Are you listening? Why? Because you cooperated with what God said. The Bible says that the word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because it's exposing and creating. It's exposing and creating. It's exposing and creating. Does everybody get with me? So as you're speaking, there's things that are being exposed and are things that are being created. And in this, you are fulfilling the final destiny. as you are being sent and God is putting people across your path and you are now moving in the gifts of the Spirit, of the word of knowledge, of prophecy by revelation. Hello? By what? Revelation. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing or of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In love. So we see here the threefold destiny. It is the threefold destiny of God right in the scripture. In the area where you and I become, grow up, where we are trained up, sent, and infiltrating. Has everybody got it? For what? The final destiny of gathering. Of what? Gathering. Hallelujah. Now, again, anybody remember what your inheritance is? I want you to repeat. Authority, dominion, and power. That's my inheritance. Authority, dominion, and power in love. In what? In love. In love. Yes. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Are y'all getting this? What's the final destiny? Gathering. First Corinthians 14, and verse 5, and we'll start at 3, praise God. And we'll start at 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet and praying in tongues, I encourage you. Seek it, get it, grab it, and don't stop till it manifests. Very, very important gift. It's a tool from God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks what? Mysteries. And where are those mysteries? They're in his Spirit, isn't he? Amen. But he who prophesies speaks what? Edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you would prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with the tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. In other words, prophecy in the church is for comfort, isn't it? But there's a different prophecy when you're out and about. In fact, when there's a difference in ministry in the corporate than there is ministry to an individual. Has everybody got this? There's ministry. In other words, I can speak to you in a different way corporately than I can speak to you individually. Even, hallelujah. And verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by what? Revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by what? Teaching. So, speaking to you, in other words, if I was to come to you and try and teach in tongues, nobody would understand it. I'm just plumb crazy. But to speak to an individual, we want to speak by revelation. Is everybody with me? By what? Revelation. That's something that God is revealing to me in you. And their revelation, in this revelation, it can come by word of knowledge, by prophecy. So even teachings can come by revelation of word of knowledge or by prophecy, interpretation of tongues. It all starts with revelation, though. Everything starts with revelation. And in revelation, when God begins to speak to us, one of the things he usually speaks, I'm going to step back a little bit. God really, you know, so many times people are waiting for him to speak a voice. Oh. And I can tell you about 90% of the time, it's usually impression, not a voice. So when somebody comes to me all the time and says, God says, God says, God says, God says, it's usually not. He impresses in your heart. There's usually oppression. And in this impression, what it does is it releases visualization. It releases a visualization. Because when God speaks to us, he speaks to us prophetically. He speaks to us what? Prophetically. Prophetically always releases revelation. So when you're speaking to someone prophetically, it's going to release a revelation. And it's going to give that person a vision. He's going to see something. She's going to see something. Is everybody with me? So God is majority of the time impressing us so that we can see. Even your thoughts, you see, don't you? That's why the imagination is so important. It is the window of vision. He's going to speak to you in your imagination more than anything. And when I'm praying for people, he'll reveal to me in my imagination. He'll show me something. And majority of the time he shows me something, then he impresses me. And in this, then I begin to speak what he shows me. Is everybody okay? We'll go a little further here. So in this imaginary window, he speaks by picture. And he comes by, because he speaks to us prophetically. And one of the things he begins to do is, listen, God doesn't speak in an area of condemnation or guilt or accusation. Does everybody understand? When he's speaking to you and me individually. When you're out and you're sharing with somebody one-on-one or whatever. Amen? Remember, prophecy is for what? Edification, comfort, isn't it? In revelation, there is always the area where the revelation must be interpreted. Is everybody okay? The revelation is always what? Interpreted. And that's what God begins to do. When he gives you the revelation, a picture comes and then he begins to interpret it for you. Your soul cannot interpret it. Your common sense cannot interpret it. This is not common sense. This is the mind of Christ out of the Spirit of God that will interpret it. Are you listening? So there will be a revelation that will come, there'll be an interpretation, and then there'll be an application. Everybody say that after me. Revelation, interpretation, and application. And application is how you apply it or how you deliver it. Remember, the final destiny is to what? Gather. Is to gather. In this, there's an area also, an individual for ourselves, is there should be always a revelation, a confirmation, and a manifestation. A what? Revelation, a confirmation. Why? Because God will always confirm. He always what? Confirms. Why? Because the purpose is gathering, isn't it? Now, there's got to be an area where you must, the Bible says, earnestly desire to prophesy. See, earnestly desire the gifts. You must want these things. God isn't just going to take you and put you in a place. He's not going to just come over and flip your little tongue and say, speak in tongues. He's not going to give you anything you don't desire. You want to live right before God? He's going to assist you. If you still want to do your thing, He'll depart from you. He'll always wait, though, for you to turn around and come back. Just make sure you don't die before you turn around and come back, because you won't be back. So in this, God is training us up so that we can be sent with the Christ character and nature, being backed by the anointing to expose, and to heal. So everybody got this? So that means there's a place where you and I must be. Our heart must be what? In line. Our heart, we must be in line. We must be right. Amen? We must be right with God. They're always in the area where there's revelation, confirmation, and manifestation. There is an area where there's a bearing of witness, and there's a bearing of fruit. There's a bearing of witness and a bearing of fruit. Why? Because we always must discern the source of the revelation. Too many people do not take the time to discern the source of the revelation. Hello. And when there's not the finding out the source of the revelation, it doesn't cause gathering, it causes scattering. The source is revealed by motive. Is it the motive of the soul or the motive of the spirit? Hello. Is it of the world? You know, let me share something with you. There are voices that are flying all over the place. You're talking about in the spirit realm. So you're dealing with voices of the spirit realm. You're dealing with voices of the soul. You're dealing with voices of the flesh. You're dealing with voices of desire. You're dealing with voices of memory. You're dealing with all kinds of voices out there. And there's only one source that's of God, and there's one source of the devil, and he's of the world. And in the revelation, there's always a confirmation. It's being confirmed. There's always a witness bearing. There's always these areas so that we don't move out of the soul and hurt someone when we're ministering to them on the streets. Everything must be in love. Listen, we're going to start moving more. We're going to start prophesying and so forth in some of these meetings soon. And then we're going to start hitting the streets. But what has to happen, you must be in order. Your heart must be in line with God. Your house must be in order. Or the devil will eat you up. He'll what? Eat you up. Because the gathering is essential. Sanctification. Sanctification is the area where it's the first thing that we must be. We must be sanctified unto the Lord. That means your heart is set towards Him. Nothing else. Your heart now is called from everywhere else and given to Him. You don't share your heart no longer with anyone or anything. The only thing that your heart is, now you have the heart of Christ. So there must be a sanctification. And sanctification doesn't mean that you're separated from the body. It means you're separated from the world. Hello? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch what is unclean. How many of the devil's always tapping on your shoulder from the past and say, would you mind touching this? And you need to turn around and say, can't touch this. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Do you understand when you are touching things that are unclean, you cannot hear? You can't hear, and you can't see. Why? Did you ever get the wrong station? Fuzzy? Not good reception? Same thing. I'll be a father to you, be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having this promise, his beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, that reverence, respect, and honor. If the fear of God is not there, then you know you're not in line. You know it. True fruit. If the fear of God, if the Lord is not before you, the fear of God isn't there. And people just say whatever they want to say. They touch whatever they want. They call whoever they want to call. They go everything. I mean, they just do goofy things. There is no direction, no leading. It's all assumption, which is what? False hope. And I'm telling you, it always ends up in a disaster. It may not happen today. People think, oh, I'm getting away with this. This is fine. You never know when he's going to strike. He just lays the bait. He gets ready, till you can affect more people. Sanctification, by touching and agreeing with unclean things, sets the heart in an unstable condition of perception and clogs or fogs the imagination. It brings it fuzzy so you can't see correctly. In Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, please. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the what? Heart, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Oh, you may not see it today, but you will eventually see it. Nobody gets away with it. Nobody. So a heart is tested by God. It's called the love test. It's a love test. You know, the word says that we're no longer to keep those things of shame hidden, but to what? Expose them. If the heart is not pure, there will always be false revelation. And there'll be always an excuse for unhealthy decisions. Yeah, but. Hello? Sanctification from the world, not separation from the body. The world is waiting to hear from God, and until he comes, he will speak through his body. Rebellion, bitterness, offense, pride, unforgiveness, works of the flesh, make it hard to hear God, because only God knows the heart of a man. He knows what's hidden there. He knows the things that an individual's touching and agreeing with. Again, if your house is not in order, your heart is not pure, he reveals these things sometimes through someone else because we're not willing to listen. Hello. But it's never done in accusation or criticism. It's done in love. Man, there's times when we've been out ministering and when we used to go to the porch and whatever, and I'm telling you, God will reveal a person to me and I can see all of this stuff that is terrible, and that's all I can do is weep as I'm speaking to them, because the love of God is pouring out of me, through me so much that I'm weeping with this person as his heart's or her heart's being exposed. Because the love of God is just pouring out. Is everybody with me? You know, the word says if we prophesy and speak in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit but not have love, what good is it? Amen? See, the purpose of these is to go out and express the love of God. It's to express what? The love of God. How are you going to gather if you're out accusing? Man, you're a sinner. Hello. You know, one day I was downtown and I saw this woman. She was ministering to some of the people on the street, and man, she was rough with them. You need to have Jesus now. I was like, whoa. And I went up to her. I said, settle. And I said, man, it's, you know. So the woman got upset with me and walked away, and the guy was sitting there. He says, man, I'm just so tired of these people coming to the streets and trying to tell me what I need to have, this, that, whatever. She's trying to force a Bible on me and whatever. I said, yeah. I said, it's stinky religion. I said, God loves you. Regardless of whether you want it or not, he loves you. And as I began to build a simple 2-minute relationship with him, the Lord gave me his heart. It had to start with love. And I spent 5 minutes there. And I'm telling you, the man left with a Bible in his hand. Because I wasn't there accusing him. I was there loving him. I was there loving him. And see, sometimes you can't, salvation, it's been predestined for the person, isn't it? Isn't salvation predestined for everyone? So that's all we need to do is just go out there and express the love of God. Maybe that person isn't going to get it that day, but you know he's going to, because he's going to remember the love of God. But he sure ain't going to remember some ding-dong out there religious idiot trying to force the word of God and beat him up with a Bible. You need to have Jesus today or I'm going to kill you. Hallelujah. Praise God. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. What's the final destiny? Together. Amen. Individual destiny, corporate destiny, and global destiny. So we're being trained up, aren't we? In James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in what? Faith. So you see, there's something you need to do. You ask, Lord, give me your voice. I only want to hear your voice. I'm going to bind every voice that there is and cleanse my imagination. I only want to hear what you want me to hear and see what you want me to see. And Lord, please grant me and fill me with your love. See, if you don't ask, you don't have. Lord, fill me and baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Refresh me. Show me what it is you want me to see. You know, people are expecting. That's a false assumption. You don't get it unless you ask for it. That's that false hope. People are going out giving words to people on false hope. And it's soulish. Must believe when you ask God to show you and speak to you. Why? Because the final destiny is what? Gathering. You're to use the keys to bind all the other voices. You only want to hear his. But let him ask in faith with what? No doubting. You can't doubt, Lord, speak to me. You can't doubt that he's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. If you ask him, and I'm going to share something with you. Majority of the time, it doesn't come instantly. Like 99.9%. He's going to release it. Because when you ask God to tell you or show you, I'm telling you, every demon from hell shows up and tries to get you his voice. Hey, me. No, you have to bind them all. Lord, I only want to hear your voice. And the majority of the time, he isn't going to speak. He's going to impress or show you. Hello. But you cannot doubt. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, man unstable in all of his ways. That's why you see people up and down. They're running back. Because they're hearing from every voice. A majority of the time, they're ministering out of the soul, not the spirit. Because everything to them is a feel. Whoa. When the Lord speaks to us, his voice is kind, it's merciful, love. Even in warning, everything is backed by love. Correction, rebuke, or chasten is involved. There's always love. Again, there's a difference when we're in corporate and we are individual. There's a difference when we're in what? Corporate than individual. God is going to speak to us in corporate in a different way than when he's going to speak to us individually when you're out there ministering. He may be more shrewd. Are you listening? More harsh with us in corporate. But when we're out there ministering, he's everything. He's not out there to be shrewd at the individuals. Are you listening? He's out there to express such love. Why? Because we're being what? Trained in here. We're being what? Trained in here. We're being trained together. Not to scatter. Go to Acts 26. I got a lot more. Hallelujah. But to God be the glory. I think the point got across. We want to get ready. We want to get our house in order. We want to get our hearts right. We want to get in line. Amen? We want to get in line. We want to get the foolishness behind us. Get the carnality, the soulish arena. Let's walk in the Spirit so we don't lose position. And let's get postured to see and hear. In Acts chapter 26, in verse something, I think it's 16. Is everybody there? Oh, yes. Everybody read this with me. But what? Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I want to go to Revelation 3, and we're going to close there. So we're to arise and what? Stand. Arise and stand. Listen, when you go to a school, do you bring a Bible? I mean, do you bring books? You should bring a Bible, praise God. Teach the teacher something. When you come in here, bring your Bible and notebook. You're here to be trained up. You ain't made it yet. You're here to get so you can teach it. And believe me, paper doesn't forget, but I can tell you this, this will. Don't be so prideful. Are you here to get trained up? Or you just agree with everything and then leave and have everything stolen? In Revelation 3 and verse 14, would you read it with me? And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, what? These things says the what? Amen. The faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, and because I am wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. That is called revelation. What is he saying? I'm counseling you to buy revelation from me. In other words, there is a price to pay. Get in line. Get in order. So revelation can come forth. Why? Because he speaks to us prophetically. It's an apostolic anointing. It's a sent anointing now. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may what? Be rich. In white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your what? Eyes. With eyes, have that you may what? See, that's the anointing, isn't it? As many as I love, I what? Rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Hello, zealous. Zealous and repent. It means you got to make your flesh jump up and down. You got to be zealous for the Lord. You got to be excited. You got to be on fire. You got to make your, you got to take dominion over your soul, because your soul is always going to resist it. Your soul just wants to sit home, watch TV, and eat popcorn. I don't feel like being here. Oh, die and shut up. That's the demons that are speaking. That ain't the Spirit of God speaking. Amen. Those are demons. Man, what am I doing here? I don't believe any of this stuff. Those are demons that are speaking. Hello? Demons. Those are evil, unclean, seducing spirits. The Bible says, those who believe in me, in my name, they will cast out devils. The first thing, Mark 16, 16 through 18. The first thing, they will cast out devils. So look in the mirror. Don't turn the lights off in case you're glowing. Yeah, look in the mirror and get rid of those things. You know that. You, believe me, you know your own fruit. Don't justify it. Don't cover it. And don't paint over it. Makeup can only go so far. Hallelujah. So can sunglasses. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Man, this is powerful. The Lord changes the whole thing. He first rebukes. He says this, this, and this. Anoint your eyes. Come on and buy some revelation, you naked little thing. You're wretched and miserable. You're still caught up in the past. Get zealous. Don't get religious on me. Get zealous for the kingdom of God. Lay that garbage down. Quit touching those unclean things. Quit putting your eyes in uncleanliness. Quit touching us. And come out from among them and be separate. And I'll be a dad to you. I'll be a dad to you like no other father can be. Quit compromising me for the things of the world, he says. I've already given you. I've already granted it in you. It's predestined. Your inheritance is what? Come on, what's the three things of the inheritance? Power, dominion, and authority. Amen? Doesn't have to be in order. It's all there. They're all associated with oneness. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And go into the highways and byways and invite them to the wedding. Amen. Not a funeral. to a wedding. By revelation, that means there's a price. Get in order. Quit getting fulfillment from the things of the world and get fulfillment from His presence. Threefold destiny of God. The destiny for you, corporate, and global. But the final destiny is to what? Gather. It's time for the church to go to the people. It's time. And that's what we're getting ready to train up. Praise God. So get your house in order. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We count those things as loss for the awesomeness of you. We loose ourselves in the past and we repent for anything that we've done, Lord. An area of compromise, complacency. Search us, remove it, and grant us, Father, the mind of Christ that it may be perfected, settled, and established in each and every one of us. That we may be one with you, like-minded, and one with each other. As you send us forth to be ready in season and out to express your love through your gifts in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.